And again, tape, head shape, if it's their second time, it's optional. They don't have to shave their heads, but I mean, it's good to do it, you know. Even if it's your second time, go and do your shave your head. It's really, really very good.
But it's obligated after the first time?
First time, yes.
Yes.
First time, it's fine. Ehti Adabajit, the Ramana say generally.
But here it says, I have a problem there, then shorten my nails or hair or shave my head.
Yeah, because this, you know, someone's second hajj, it's optional. If it's first, it's wajib. Again, ehti Adabajit, technically speaking, ehti Adabajit. So when this is basically when you are done with this, already Maghrib. By the time all these three things are settled, it's already Maghrib time of Eid day is over.
Now, let me ask you on this, what we just talked about, the tafsir. You know, now at Umrah time you get a clip off whatever on your hair and all that stuff, right? But after Hajj you have to shave it off.
Yes.
There's no
response
about it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Do this and basically, on Friday I was reading the hadith. Okay. Were you here? The hadith from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he said, he said, for every hair that falls off your head, Allah will give you a noor on the day of Qiyamah. For every hair. So there's sawab, there's just significance, the benefits, and there are spiritual benefits right now. You know, basically, you know, all worldly attachments go away in Hajj. All worldly attachments. You give up a lot of your things even to go to Hajj. It's even to be ready to do your Hajj, you have given up so much. The time, money, effort, all that. The stress, any preparation you are here now for, all that is part of it, and Allah rewards people definitely, there's no doubt. And the closer you get to Hajj, more of the worldly things you leave behind. More of your attachment, more of our things, you know. When we put on the ihram, even the dress we used to wear is gone. When you do a Hajj, even the hair is gone. Because anything, any association with worldly life goes away. That's the purest form of ibadat of Allah, that you know, it's really like you are born again and you leave everything that distracted you from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because by your action you have proven, oh Allah, I am here for you and nothing else, nothing will now separate me from you. This is the theme, this is the whole idea that person feels this feeling out, you know. So the half of night in Mina, you stay. And Arafat, this is the kind of crowd. Masjid al-Haram looks like this, you collect pebbles over there. And you know, it's night time. Masjid al-Haram is a little categorized now, classified. Western pilgrims on this side, Arab pilgrims, Middle Eastern this side, Far Eastern this side. So there are channels for walking, crossing, getting on the bus. Bus service is different. All of this happened last year. Otherwise, it all used to be a big one place where everybody is there. And buses are passing and people are sleeping on the road. This was supposed to be 2 years ago. Last year, all organized. The only problem was that being categorized, people are kind of, you feel like, okay, you are from Western countries, okay, US citizens, European, you are Arabs, you know. It's only this distinction kind of, but anyways, as long as it's organization, huh?
Arabi Ajami
or something. So, yeah, you get a little bit of that feeling, but it's a lot better than before, you know. It has to be, there has to be a discipline. Mina. Wukuf in Mina, this is what Mina looks like. The tents in Mina are much better than the tents in Arafat. They are fireproof, they have air conditioning and all that, you know. This is the wall, yeah. This is the wall. This is not supposed to be shaitan now. It's a very kind of a designer kind of a wall. It's really with the patterns and designs on it and now that kind of, so it looks very neat.
I guess the chances of missing your stone is much less.
Yeah.
You got a pretty much 100% shot.
Yeah, it's sharp. You stand so close. It used to be so hard because this one column, thousands of stones, I mean, you would even keep track of, okay, which one was mine. You have to throw it several times to be sure, okay, it's one. Now you throw again and again, so it's two. You're sure it hit the column. Now it's easy.
You said there are three different sizes of columns, but since there are walls now, so how do we know which? Because it says
that
it's certain
at
first,
the biggest
one now,
the walls are... Ah, that's just mentioned. Gemini Akaba. So the first one is the Ula, smaller one, the second. The walls are all, they look the same. But the big signs over there, they say this is Ula, this is Usta, this is Akaba. And Akaba is the greatest, first, biggest one. Sacrifice at Mina. This is actually Sheikh Fadla Zadeh, is my teacher, is from Alim from Qom. And, okay, Halk and Tafsir, this is how they shave their heads in Mina and every camp.
You're doing quite
late. I'm all in Makkah.
Has to be with the blade or can you trim it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you ask this and it's a little kind of funny because every year I've noticed this. When I'm done with everything, when I'm going back to the airport, they hand us a bag, you know, which has a shaving kit in it. I don't know why they give it when we are done. They should give us when we are going to Mina. So you keep your one for yourself. Shaving, you know, what do you call this? Razor, yeah. Razor, yes. For the bed is available everywhere, but buy one or two for extra good ones, you know. And there are people, they are doing it, they are probably charging something, but there are three or four people in every tent area, you know, camp area. There are three, four Saudi, you know, boys. They are shaving their heads. They are charging. This I saw last year. Before that was just people like us, you know, doing it for each other. So you had to kind of observe, okay, how is this brother doing? Some people they scratch and they bleed and things like that. So
is it advisable to have your own at least?
Of course, nobody shares. They all bring their own. But the thing is, you have to go and buy it outside. So if you can just keep one before, you know, keep one handy. And in the bag you pack, when you are leaving Makkah for Arafat, bag you pack, keep the all essentials there. Clothes to wear, because after your halk is finished, you know, now you can, you're out of there. Now you put on, normal, because after shaving your head, you take a shower, the showers are there, warm showers, you basically put on normal clothes. So you should have a fresh clothes with you in the bag. One extra ihram, because two nights you are traveling, one pair of clothes and whatever extra things you need. So once you are done, basically, you know, you're
all... All this you have to fit inside a backpack?
Yes, bag of enough, you know, space in it. Some food stuff, you know, something like snacks or something you need to eat, water bottles, other things. They are all available. Arafat area, they distribute a lot of these juices and eats, things to eat and all that.
So nothing to be taken from here. Most of it is in buy right there.
Everything. Iran is there, all kinds of things are there. Makkah is a huge market. Billions of dollars trade going on there. Every year is a big... It's a lot of
Haram and all there, you can actually get off at Jeddah or Medina, because since you're going there first, you can buy it there.
Yeah, but Medina you stay for a week almost, 5-6 days, so you have enough time, you know. Even a few hours before leaving Medina, you can easily go to the nearest shop and buy an Ihram. Doesn't take any, whatever you want. It's very easy. All that is available.
I understand Karwan 72, they did provide
the
Ihram.
I think one Ihram they are providing. One Ihram, I think last year they gave one Ihram to everyone. Is that right? Yes. So this kind of Ihram they give you.
Only for men.
Yes, of course. This is very easy to get. You know, no tailoring necessary, nothing. So. So this is the sequence of manasik. Maghrib, you stay till midnight in Mina and all those things, you know. After midnight, you go there. Don't leave before midnight, otherwise there is a kafara. One sheep or something. If you leave Mina before midnight, so you should be sure it's midnight now. Midnight doesn't mean 12. It means Shari midnight. Between, because the way to calculate, Maulana knows, of course. I don't remember right now. So I think sunset and between sunset and Fajr time, halfway exactly. Calculate that, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, Amal. So Hajj is done. Amal of Makkah. Now you are back in Makkah. So you have to do Tawaf, Salat Tawaf, Sa'i, Tawaf al-Nisa, Salat of Tawaf al-Nisa. Right? How many of these things you have already done before by this time? All of them. The only thing different is the niyat of Tawaf al-Nisa. Niyat of this one. You have done only Salat of Tawaf al-Nisa. Don't forget that. Salat has to come right after the Tawaf al-Nisa. Salat.
With the niyat of wajib?
Yes. Tawaf al-Nisa is a Shia thing. Others don't do it. Leaving Makkah last time is Tawaf al-Wida is also mustahab. Tawaf al-Wida. 7. Every Tawaf is 7 now. 7 round with Salat. 7 round with Salat. So Amal of Makkah is Tawaf, Salat, Tawaf. Niyat is given. Niyat of the word Hajj is now or for those performing Hajj for the first time. Okay? For those who are mustahab Hajj or Hajj of mustahab Niyabat, there is no need to say that. The Naib will mention the name of the person for whom is doing this. Alright? But this is the. Our goal today was mainly to cover the 15 aspects. And that's why I have not talked about anything else. Mostly very little. I was trying to cover this part to give you a sense of what issues there are. And there's a lot more regarding that. About, for example, Ihram in Masjid al-Shajara, is it allowed outside or not? Women, for example, who are not in Taharat, they cannot enter the Masjid, what do they do? All this you need to clarify with Maulana and ask every question in your mind. Okay, Namaz in Makkah and Medina, will your Namaz be Qasr or Tamam? That's the question. Alright, now I'm telling you. Remember according to your Mujtahid. Imam Khomeini says, you have a choice, or it's optional, whether you do full namaz or qasr inside the masjids. Inside the masjids, okay? And masjids means the covered area, not the courtyard, the outside of the masjid. If you are inside Masjid al-Haram or inside Masjid al-Nabi, you can either do zuhur 2 rakat or 4 rakat. Same Masjid al-Haram in Makkah. You can do your zuhur 2 rakat or 4. But if you are outside, in the sahen, outside area near the street, then you don't have this, you basically have qasr. So you are traveling. Okay. Al-Khuy says, in the old city of Makkah, in old city of Medina, you have the same option. Not just inside the masjid, the old city of Makkah and Medina. Al-Khamenei and Al-Sistani say that, in the whole of Makkah and Medina, you have the option of doing your salat, qasr or tamam. Okay, so it's optional. In the whole of Makkah, the whole of Medina, you may be staying 4 miles away from Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, and still you can do your salat, qasr or tamam. Of course, qasr comes to our mind first because we are traveling. Qasr is allowed anyways. But whether you can do tamam also, because in riwayat, Makkah and Medina are like your home, like your hometown. So, but inside the masjid is like that. Other ulama, some ulama do allow you, like I just mentioned, as Sistani and Al-Khamenei allow you in the whole of Makkah and Medina to have either qasr or tamam. Yes.
What about if I'm praying my fajr namaz? I have fajr namaz.
Inside the masjid?
Inside like...
Or otherwise? Qaza, wajib qaza is probably allowed even in travel, I'm not sure. I think it's allowed, because it's wajib.
Yeah.
In travel, mustahab salat, one doesn't do. Mustahab salat, you know, in travel you do the wajib. Unless I think Namaz-e-Shab is an exception. Otherwise, Nawafil and all are exempted during travel. And Qaza is wajib, so probably it's okay, you can do it. No, I can't think of anything. It's just a little zahmat, you know, to do wudu, walk away outside, go all the way. There are huge bathrooms outside, but the water is available. Some people even do their wudu with Abu Zamzam. In fact, 3-4 years ago when we went in the basement of Zamzam, we were doing washing ourselves and doing wudu there also. A lot of people were doing it. It was allowed. Now, they have turned the Abu Zamzam's well of Zamzam into containers. Now what you see is tanks, tank containers, you know, with, what do you call, taps. So you fill your glasses, the glass is there, you fill the glass and you drink it. And, you know, I think it says over there, do not use this water for wudu. That's a problem. They say it's not for wudu. I don't know if they have that authority to make these rules. I mean, Zamzam is for everybody. Zamzam is for the well, but used for people, hajis. Now they say, drink it only, don't use it for wuzu. But that's what the rule says, so if you want to do wuzu, you want to go outside, it'll be better. So, one more thing about men, the shoes in Ihram, they cannot wear sewn, you know, stitch shoes, use flip-flops.
Right.
Dampai, the chappal, you know?
Yeah.
And you can essentially buy it right there. Convenient just wear.
Yeah, but you know, these, they are available, but they are not good quality. They break very easily. Get them from here, the simple ones, without any stitches or anything, but they last longer, they survive in the crowd, and you lose them easily. So get 2-3 pairs, say from here, you know?
Old Navy?
Yeah, exactly. I got it from Old Navy, you know, like $2 or something.
Yeah,
$2. Very cheap.
$2.
Exactly, and they use theirs quite sturdy and strong.
Very strong, you know. So, I mean, I've been wearing this for a while. Yeah.
Now, there's some technical issues. You cannot wear socks during Ihram.
Is that for men or for
women? No, men actually. Not women. Men cannot wear socks. Right, during Ihram. The issue is this. It's probably going to be cold in Arafah. It's going to be cold in Muzdalifah. And especially in Muzdalifah, you'll be in open air. No camps, nothing. And all night. And it can get very cold. Around 3 o'clock, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So, some of us had sleeping bags and some didn't have sleeping bags, so you know, you have how much you can endure, how much cold you can endure, you know, it's up to you. It says that you cannot wear socks. Now the sleeping bag is not a sock, right? And and then I checked whether there is a kafara for another. See, the other issue is you cannot wear sewn clothes, right?
Right.
In Ihram. And sleeping bag is what?
So.
That's an issue.
You're not wearing it.
Yeah, but again, that's, see, good question.
Interpretation.
Good observation. Now the thing is, where was that list of kafara? So last time I did a lot of homework on this because I was expecting cold weather.
Actually, Marana, that's on the woman website.
It is?
Yes. According to Kham and I, if you can use sleeping bags as long as you're not wearing it.
Huh?
As long as you're not wearing it. Putting down as mat or covering oneself, it's okay.
Believe me, if it gets cold, you will wear it. You will zip it. I'm telling you, wearing sewn clothes for men, kafara is one sheep. So strike a balance somewhere. You see, I will not wear it. I'll just cover myself with it. If it gets too cold, then know this. that if you zip the this thing as a precaution, you are like wearing something, kind of wearing something. So you give the kafara if it's cold, if you have to, you know, sleep in the sleeping bag and you have to zip it up. Basically, you do that, but you have to give a kafara. Remember,
you have a choice now. Either you want to drop a sheep, or you want to not to freeze.
Yeah, you save yourself to kill the sheep. Well, this is a one way to solve a problem.
Islam has
solutions.
Well, we do that all the time, don't we?
Islam has solutions.
We just had lunch. Alright. Okay, looking in the mirror. See, looking in the mirror, technically, if it's not for zinat, it is okay. But some ulama say even looking without the niyat of zinat is not allowed. See, Imam Khomeini says, for instance, ihtiyat-e-wajib, that, you know, ihtiyat-e-wajib means that if you are my muqallid, if you are following Imam Khomeini, then do not look in the mirror, even if you are not really doing it for zinat. You know, like looking in the mirror can be for different reasons. You are driving a car, you are looking in the mirror. Or you are looking in the mirror just to look at yourself, not to see how you look, it's just, I don't know, just looking in the mirror, you know.
So let me ask you a technical question, Walla.
Yeah.
My wife puts on her haram and everything. So, what do you think? I look okay in this, or what do you think? Am I supposed to answer it or not to answer it?
You're becoming like a mirror for her, right? You see,
exactly.
If I answer you, I'm like a mirror. So I'm telling you how you look. So you're conscious of how you look, and you should not be worrying about this.
Yeah.
You are in hajj right now.
That's a very technical question.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. They say that one mu'min is a mirror for another, and mu'min mir'atul mu'min, right?
There you go.
So, it's technically okay, but... In the mirror, don't look in the mirror. This is, Imam Khomeini says very clearly. And our Sistani, our Khuy, our Khamenei say, technically, he say, it is okay if you look in the mirror, if it's not, with the niyat of zinat. But since a lot of ulama have done ihtiyat, and they, who knows if it's for niyat or zinat or not. When you look in the mirror, you're conscious of yourself.
Right.
Hey, is that me? You know? You start degrading yourself, hey, my face doesn't look right and all that. It just, you know, becomes, you become conscious of yourself. And it's a good feeling not to be conscious of yourself over there. You know? Really, you feel light. Even not being conscious of yourself, you feel so relieved, so light that you have put aside all the burden. You know what I'm saying? All the burden goes away. People say that, oh, how hard this hajj is. Actually, you know, when the real hajj starts, all the burden is gone. It's the easiest part of your life you will spend on those 3 days. And, you know, the time of this thing will come to an end, the hajj comes to an end, you become conscious of, oh, I'm going back to my life, my job, and my all family and friends and other things. And then you start feeling the burden. Oh God, actually you were very light.
Happy.
You were feeling very happy and very relaxed and easy when you were in hajj. And now you are going back to it. And we have so gotten used to the stress that we think we are okay, we are doing well. Actually, we are not.
And it's spiritual, I guess, you know, the knowledge of God, you know, so you're not thinking of anything else, you know.
And it's, you know, I think Saudis should put a ban or something on using cell phones in haram also. Because there's so many now. There are all these flashing cameras everywhere. So people standing in front of haram and calling, I don't know, this country and that country, how's my assistant going on, what's the roof? You're supposed to be away from it and you're distracting yourself, you're taking yourself away from hajj to something else. And as less of this as possible. Yeah, keep the phone, all that, and for a good reason, use it for communication, dua for your family. Even if you want to call, it's okay. Even from haram, then I've prayed for you, this is dua for you. But you know, it should not distract other people. Should not make us conscious of other things, ourselves or our other lives. This is our spiritual life and this is really the insight that we were ignoring all this time. We are there now, we are reviving our spirit. So we should be doing that.
About the toothpaste, it has some kind of a smell. Is it allowed to use the toothpaste?
During Ramadan, anything of scent or perfume or even foodstuffs, you cannot even smell a fruit. You know, a fruit that has natural smell, don't smell. I mean, eating is allowed.
But the food that we eat, it only has, the food we eat, that also has some kind of smell, I guess.
Yeah, don't smell it, yeah. Just, if it's not like
not
too intense. Much, like, you know, there's some foods have this lot of zafaran and a lot of these different other things.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, try to avoid those foods.
Now, so, the brother mentioned about the toothpaste, we use the
but eating is okay, but don't smell it, I mean. During Ihram, I'm saying. But usually they don't provide that kind of food during Ihram anyways. Yes?
Are we using the maswak or, you know, the stick between our teeth or what we use on the head?
Brush or maswak, anything.
But without
and you can buy a toothpaste that doesn't have the smell, huh?
Okay, so you can get those
things. Yes, you can use it, but not with the perfumer.
No mint.
Buy some toothpaste with no odorless, like odorless stuff. You can find it, I'm sure, somewhere.
And the common toothpaste that we have,
they all have taste to it, mint and all that, everything.
Medicated smell, no, that's not perfume.
There's a lot of things that like mint and all that stuff.
If it's not a scent, it's okay.
Haripani or brush or
medicated is the name of a brand or something? Medicam.
That's good.
If it doesn't have a perfume or a scent, you know, that is catching it.
This is all during the 3 days of, I mean, during the, sorry, during the Ihram.
Yes.
Okay.
During Ihram.
They were 24 restrictions. Yeah.
24 restrictions, yeah.
So I was saying about the, yeah, so take care of how, if you, that you are prepared, ready for the nights and Arafat and Muzdalifah. It will be cold at night. So daytime, you should not think the night will be the same. It gets quite cold around 4 o'clock or some 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock at night, it's quite cold. You should be ready for that. Take whatever you need to be, you know, prepared for that. So you don't get sick, because next three days of that, each day and next 2 days will be quite hard. A lot of will be there and all that, you know, have to do all those things to be in shape. A lot of walking. So prepare next 2 weeks or so. How many days are left?
3 weeks.
Walk a lot. Walk a lot. Because you'll be doing one thing, a lot of it. The more you walk, the easier it gets over there. Because otherwise, one day, suddenly you walk 4 hours, 3 hours. Your body will be aching so much. It will be hard, you know, very hard.
You mentioned sickness. Would you recommend taking antibiotics?
Yes, some basic medications, you know. You know yourself better. The necessary medication, you definitely have extra of that. But some essential, you know, and bandages and all those things, Advil, whatever you use for, you know, painkiller or something. So if you know yourself, know your body, what happens when you are under a lot of stress and not a lot of, you know, exhaustion or whatever these things, you know. A lot of after physical exercise, what do you need? You need any to drink or even eat what gives you energy. Just be ready for 3-4 days of a lot of exercise, a lot of walking. And walking is a lot of exercise. Some people think walking is not. Walking is a lot of exercise. Especially when you're crossing roads and going from one bus to another, carrying your bag, you know, losing your way, walking all the way back, things like that happen. So,
well, I'm going to come back to the point that you mentioned earlier regarding the sleeping bag. As long as you know, zipper it up, you're okay to use it.
Yeah, you're just covering, you're not wearing it.
Once you make it like a bag, then you're wearing it. By zipping it up, it becomes a garment.
For men, the feet have to be exposed, period.
Yeah. So if feet are exposed, you're not covering them. That's why I started from the feet.
Right.
You can put on socks, right? That's one thing. So you, basically you...
Oh, even the sleeping bag, your feet can stick out.
So it's not socks actually. I was saying it's not socks.
Right.
Sleeping bag is not. But you are wearing, but it's not socks. So I was just hinting at that. It's not really socks. But wearing is the second concern, main concern, I think you're right, is the wearing part, right? So if you are just covering yourself, it's okay. Because they say clearly, you know, you can, even if you put on a blanket, it's better to avoid. But if you have a blanket that has endings, you know, slits and all, they say if it's, you are just covering yourself, it's okay. But if you wrap it around yourself or like a wear it or something, then again the kafara is there. So whether it's a blanket or a sleeping bag, if you are really wrapping yourself around it and all, again you are putting yourself under all the stitches and everything, so, you know, you are not wearing ihram and you are wearing this, so the same thing, so, you know. Yes. Yes, we did that. We did that, if you want. But blanket really needs to be a very, very warm blanket, because we had this blanket last year. Some people had just a blanket. And it wasn't enough. It gets cold really. And you know, once we finish, I'll discuss some little bit some operational things more of this. Yes. 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 Oh yes. And again, check about your own scholars' views on using oils, whether he allows oil or creamed or not. Some ulama allow cream and oil to be used, some don't allow. Some say that if it's not perfume, you can use cream. If it's perfume, you don't use cream. So some allow it, because if it's not perfume. And so you just check over there, because I don't have all the resources or time to, didn't have the time to check. So just be conscious of this. See, one, you are aware of all these things and you pick out what you need, where you need it, and alhamdulillah, you have alim, you have resources, books and everything, and other ulama. And the more you learn about, this is just fiqhi aspect. So we were, a lot of focus was today on fiqhi because it was short of time and we had to cover this whole thing. That's why we was a lot of emphasis on these fiqhi issues. Otherwise, my idea last year, I mean, fiqh was just a part of that. We were covering other issues, the hadith of Imam and the hadith related to Hajj. Every part of it we discussed, the social implications of Hajj and places, activities to be done over there, meeting the ulama. It's a wonderful experience, and inshallah, I'm very sure you will all benefit from that very much.
Salat during the flight.
See, if you know you will be at the airport before the time is qaza, right, then you wait. But if you are not sure, or if you are not sure whether if you get to the airport, then you have the time and place to pray over there, then just pray in the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't wait. But if you are sure, this flight, another hour, I'll get to the airport, I'll stay there for 2-3 hours. You know, 2-3 hours is a lot of margin. You can pray at any airport if you have 2-3 hours. But if you have 1 hour, and change terminal, baggage, everything, forget about it. Just pray with the plane.
Can we do it again for the
salat? No, salat is finished, it's finished. One salat is wajib. Once you have offered your salat, looking at the situation at that time, once you have offered your salat, you have done it.
So,
yes, of course. In the plane is qasr. The only discussion of tamam is only inside Masjidul Haram and Masjidul Nabawi, where you can offer full prayer. In Jamaat, everyone will be praying tamam anyways, you know. The Jamaat in Medina and Mecca, they are doing full prayer, 4 rakat of Zuhur, 4 rakat of Asr. So you are in Jamaat, you do full Salat with them, that's fine. Outside in the Sahen of Masjid al-Nabi or over there, check the ruling I was telling you, ask about it, what your Mujtahid said. If you are outside the Sahen, what do you do if it's, you do tamam or Asr, so. Alright, so I think this part should be clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and you all, and bring you back safely, and keep you inshallah healthy and strong during the Hajj, and motivated and together as a group, and strong, you know, and helpful to each other and to your caravan, and bring back a lot of blessings from the house of Allah for each member of the community, and bring a lot of maghfirat and rahmat for all your mahumeen of your families, and over there, when you reach the Baqi and Jannat al-Baqi, as I was saying, Jannat al-Baqi is a place where 4 Imams are buried, right? So our Rafa and Ulama say that take off your shoes when you walk inside Jannat al-Baqi, because 4 Imams are buried there. It's a place you really bow down and kiss the ground, and you say, "Oh Imam, I'm here in your house and I cry for you. What is going on at your grave? And you have been so mazloom to this time. And we are so you know, weak, we are so lazy, or whatever, you know, that we are not taking care of your graves also. We are not doing justice to you all." And this feeling, you know, and remember what happened in Medina in history. What was going on? What is the story of Jannat al-Baqi? What is the story of Haram of Rasul Akram, the Holy Prophet's family and his and what happened to them and all the history, and just refresh your mind and see and try to connect with Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. When you do that, remember all of us, remember all those who have prayed for you, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us opportunity next year inshallah, as a larger group, more people get to go there inshallah. So please recite the Surah Al-Fatiha for marhumin of all the organizers, sponsors, and all members of this community. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اهدنا الصراط الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، تابع لهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوة وإنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم أدخل على أهل القبور السرور، اللهم أغن كل فقير، اللهم ارزقنا حج بيتك الحرام في عامي هذا وفي كل عام، ما أبقيتنا في يسر منك وعافية وسعة رزق، ولا تطلنا من تلك المواقف الكريمة والمشاهد الشريفة وزيارة قبر نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله.
Part of learning for Hajj. So I'm doing only my job, so don't mind, okay?
Right.
We don't shave our beards.
Okay.
And during Hajj, don't shave your beard also. So in Shia teachings, shaving is not allowed.
Right.
And for Hajj especially, we don't shave our beards at all. Shaving head in Mina is part of the arkan of Hajj. First time it's ityadi wajib or wajib. So, inshallah, it's like a way we resemble ourselves with Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Ali was like this, so, you know.